Hi, happy Zos Chanukah. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are up to Parshat Miketz, which interestingly does not fall out on Chanukah this year, but rather it falls out on Zos Chanukah, or the Yisroel Chag of Zos Chanukah, which is something that I sort of talk about in my written part this week, but are we talking about something else? And we are going to still be tying it into Chanukah, even though, again, Miketz is technically the day after Chanukah, also my Hebrew birthday. So in this week's parsha, when Paro is telling Yosef about his dreams, he begins by telling him of, there's a lot of sevens actually, but the seven cows, and then he proceeds to tell him about his second dream, which involved seven shibolim, or clusters of grain. What's interesting is there's a lot of things that are interesting, but Paro describes specifically how the healthy stalks looked. As the Torah writes, "Behine sheva shibolim olot bekana echad." And behold, seven clusters of grain were rising up on one stalk. Now, interestingly enough, that actually sounds similar to the menorah, which had seven branches emanating from one base, right? We had sheva, olot, seven going up, bekan echad, from one stem. And, you know, so it's interesting. In fact, actually, each one of the seven individual stems of the menorah is called a kana. It's pretty cool. Now, the Baal Torim, as well as the Arizal, comment that this term of bekana is specifically used to describe the menorah in the Mishkan. And the Kliyakar also notes that here, when the seven shibolim are unified together, it says bekana echad specifically, but when the scrawny stalks of grain are there, which symbolize the years of famine, there's no mention of them being together. Rather, they are separate, right? There's just happens to be there are seven scrawny grains of stalk of grain, or whatever, grains, whatever. So, but when there's unity, then there's blessing and satiety. People are satiated. When there's unity, people are coming together. They can help each other, but there's also like a bracha from the Shemayim. But when there's disunity, there's scarceness and bad things that can happen. But what is precisely the connection between Paro's dreams and the menorah? Talk about the menorah in the Mishkan, not the menorah Chanukah, but there are actually a lot of possible answers to this. But one possible way is to illuminate the answer. Yes, that was a pun. Is to look at the other dream that Paro had. Paro first had a dream involving cows. Now, the Sfas, among others, makes numerous comparisons to Karbanos, and if this is indeed the case, then perhaps the two dreams, in a sense, parallel the gifts that we see in Parsha Naso and Beholotcha, right? So in Parsha Naso, the tribal princes, which we read those aliyahs, we read that Torah reading on Hanukkah, the tribal princes each give identical sacrifices, among which is a bull, among other animals. Now, afterwards is Aaron's gift, which is the ability to light the menorah, in the Mishkan, and eventually the gift of the Kohanim will continuously light it in the Beit HaMikdash, and the ability to continuously give to Hashem at the Klal Yisrael each day throughout the generations through the lighting of the menorah. Now, the gift of the Nesiim, the tribal princes, was a one-time offering. It was amazing. They went first, but it was a one-time offering. But there were sacrifices brought every day in the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash, right? So the Nesiim, they brought them, you know, those 12 consecutive, you know, tribal princes that brought it. And this, in a sense, the legacy continued that there were continuous, you know, there's the carbon atomic, the carbon that was brought twice a day, every day, in addition to whatever other carbonos were brought. And that was true throughout the time of the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash, outside of a very small period in the second Beit HaMikdash times. Maybe first Beit HaMikdash also, I'm not certain. You need to learn Nach better. But anyway, you know, it may not be perfect symbolism, but effectively it's there, right? You have the symbolism of their carbonos. So, even though the actual sacrifices that the tribal princes was a one-time thing, it still symbolized this idea of bringing karbanos on a regular basis. And the menorah lighting was certainly something which was every day in the Mishkan. And in fact, Chazal explained, which I've heard in a couple different this year, that the menorahs that we light, even though they're carrying the Chanukah miracle, are in a sense actually a continuation of the light of the menorah that was lit in the Beit HaMikdash, which is pretty cool. But either way, the lighting of the menorah, whether it was, you know, we'll stick to the Beit HaMikdash for now, or the Mishkan, the lighting of the menorah every day symbolized a certain type of daily continuity in the service of Hashem, as did the carbon atomic. Now, Bnei Yisrael was about to become mired in Egypt, be forced to go through horrible slavery and many horrible things, in what our sages call a Kor HaBarzel, an iron furnace. Now, the difficulties we faced in Mitzrayim helped purify us and to make us who we would eventually become as a nation. And this process all began with Yosef, as we see in this week's Parsha. But just as the dreams, whether it was Yosef's dreams or Paro's dreams, just as they were not meaningless, so too is the symbolism. Everything that Paro dreamt and what Yosef interpreted, in fact, became reality. But not only that, it ultimately also led to our reality, of who we were and how we were identified as a people. It also demonstrated throughout the years, and certainly with Yetziat Mitzrayim, demonstrated Hashem running many, many aspects of life and controlling how things can play out. You know, manipulation of nature as well as so many other things as well. And Paro had emuna in Yosef. He had faith in Yosef, right? Yosef, by extension, the rest of Klal Yisrael, had faith and have faith in Hashem and his providence, right? Obviously, they're not the same thing as Lahavdil, but in a certain sense, it's an extension of the same idea. Obviously, Yosef can only do things because Hashem caused it to happen, but Paro obviously didn't realize that. But we may have to go through difficult times, and perhaps keeping the, you know, the Chanukah, you know, proverbs or analogies alive for right now, because it's still tonight. Tonight is those Chanukah. We can perhaps even be crushed and squeezed like an olive. We can be under horrible pressure, horrible heat, horrible things. But it can sometimes lead this crushing and squeezing, as uncomfortable it might be, and sometimes necessary. It can lead to the most beautiful pure drop of oil that can illuminate the world. This year, well, really the last 2 months have been very difficult. I don't know if it's fair to in comparison to other histories because it was a smaller segment of the population, but it was one that affected Jews worldwide and Israel-wide. So it wasn't quite on the same level as the Holocaust or some of the pogroms of the Crusades, but it impacted us on much more of a level because we're so much more interconnected than we were before. Now, with everything we can see on social media and international phone calls and everything, footage, and everything like that, and the way the news world's connected, we're so interconnected and we're so immersed in everything that's happening. We feel it for our 7 million brothers and sisters, and, you know, certainly the hundreds of captives and the thousands of people that were killed. And that may cause us to lose hope, but we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing the amazing resilience. We're seeing people coming together out of what we had before, some level of significant level of disunity. We have unprecedented unity now and people fighting together. And as it's still the eighth night, it's eighth night now, and it's the middle of the early morning in Eretz Yisrael. We still have the pure light illuminating from the Chag. You know, some people still have the menorah burning tonight, especially around the West Coast. Give the light with the menorah burning tonight, and this light is burning from our very soul. Then we can be that light. And as we finish up the days of Hanukkah and even move past it a little bit, we should not leave the light behind, but carry it forth to illuminate the lingering darkness, the darkness of winter that we have, and hopefully we have no more proverbial darkness. But we can nevertheless have the opportunity to shine bright, and we can help others to shine brightly in the light, whether it's our fellow Jew, our family, or just the world at large. And that merit may be able to merit that we have the ultimate light, which is the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light, which will eternally light up the world. So I'm giving you my bracha on this Zos Chanukah, that we have lots of nisim and niflos, literally in the next few hours, and that any salvation, any miracles, anything that we have, any amazing light that we bring into the world or that we see being brought into the world, we'll be able to take with us and carry on into Shabbos and into the rest of the year so that we can remember all of that amazing brightness and the warmth of those amazing flames and the amazing neshamos. May we keep them dear, you know, moving forward for the rest of as long as we can remember. So wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom, and for the last time, Happy Hanukkah.